I am Brother Frank Patton. My sending church is Mount Bethel Baptist Church, East Bend, North Carolina. My pastor is Brother Bobby Watts. It's a pleasure to be here at Fellowship Baptist Church with this pastor, this lovely pastor right here. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm called the Juvenile Across America Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. It's my wife, Wendy. It's my oldest daughter, Jessica, my middle daughter, Candace, and my littlest daughter, Sarah Grace. We are the Pattons. And you can know us by the General George Patton. My first name is George. My last name is Patton. So, and they call me the General. So you can know us by the Pattons, by the General George Patton. My little girl was on a, she was on a train, headed, my middle daughter was on a train headed for the capital of North Carolina, which is here in Raleigh. And this man came down there in the middle of the train, and he walked right up to her and sat down beside her. He said, "You sure are a pretty little girl." He said, "Just what is your name?" She said, "Candace Patton." So he goes, "Patton, Patton, are you any kin to the General George Patton?" She goes, "Yeah, he's my daddy." So we are the Pattons. And the average age we preach to in prisons is from 10 to 20 year old. We have seen them as little as 7 and 8 year olds. Statistics will tell you that the U.S. incarcerates more people than any other country. And statistics will tell you that 500,000 juveniles are incarcerated per year. And statistics will tell you that 25% of all American teenagers are behind bars. So there is a need. You say, what are they in there for? They're for murder, rape, and they're for drugs, theft, and they don't know Jesus. And that's the main thing they're in there for, is because they don't know Jesus. Because I've never been in places. I could have been, but Jesus got a hold of me before I got to them. And I want to thank God for that. It says, I preach all over the southeast, some in the north. We're going on 65% support. Full-time, we're taking on full-time responsibilities and full-time in the prison. We're on 65% support. So y'all pray for us. The Lord's taking care of us. The Lord's taking care of us. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." He said, go. That's what we're doing. We're going out to the prisons. We're trying to reach a few. We're trying to reach a few. That's what we're doing. We're trying to persuade a few that they don't want to go to hell. You say, hell? I said, hell. Hell is not a cuss word. It's a place. When people realize that, they'll get scared. But see, nobody wants to fear God and what the outcome is if you don't get saved. They don't want to do it. They don't fear hell no more. We preach out of the King James Bible only. We hand out tracts, Bibles, and literature. We go one-on-one in the services. We start from, let's say, 8:30 in the morning. We go to dinner time. We break for dinner. We come back in there, we go till supper time, we break for supper. Then we come back in there and we go from 6 to about 8 or 9 o'clock, however they will let us stay. And we have a service just like this. We have preaching, singing, worshiping, prayer meeting time. We have it all. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to get them just a little time away from things of the world and put their mind on Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. We're looking for some. We had the most I'd ever seen in a service was 104 professions. We had that in North Carolina, Morganton. We had 104 professions. Went there the second time, it was 78 professions. But see, we're not looking for professions. We're looking for some possessions. That's what we're looking for, possessions. Because if I get a possession, there'll be a change there. A change will take place if I get a possession. That's what we're looking for. We preached in Florida, went to a little girls, there was three girls in the classroom. We preached to them, and one of them said she was 12 years old. It said she had 26 brothers and sisters. She had 16 by her daddy and 10 by her mama. She only knowed 8 of them. And none of them was her full-blooded brother or sister. What kind of world are we in? I'll tell you, we're in a generation that grandma's raising them. They don't know their daddy or their mama. We're in a generation that don't want to know Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. They don't want to know Him. They don't want to know the things of God. That's the kind of generation we're in. You know, we preached in Florida on the campus of the Gators. Florida Gators. And you think we handed out thousands of tracts. Thousands. And you think that they're not able to accept us preaching on their campus. You think that. They did not. We took more cussing about our Savior than we do in the prisons. That's a shame. It's a shame. That's the kind of people we're raising. Don't know God. I mean, parents, you think about it. Are you raising kids to serve God or serve mammon, the devil? What are you doing? What are you raising? I see. We preached in Tampa, Florida. We had 15 that had never heard of the prodigal son in our classroom. 15 had never heard of prodigal son. We preached in Tennessee. We had one lady that come out. She never heard of Adam and Eve. Never heard of Adam and Eve. So there is a need. Now I'm going to leave you with this. This is a statement made. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners. For unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. and worthy of all temptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now this is the Apostle Paul. He said this. He said, of whom I am chief. Not I was, but I am chief. He said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief, but this thing is real to Jesus, and this thing is real to me, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor of the gospel, but I saw a light one day coming down. He shone down for me, all around about me, and he said, I am Jesus who thou persecutest. It's just the Apostle Paul. You must get to the point where you realize you're a sinner. You might not be a drunk, an adulterer, but you must be at a point where you realize that you are the chiefest among sinners. Amen. Even though God considers us a saint. You know, we got prayer cards. There is a need. We got prayer cards in the front. I want y'all to each take one of them prayer cards. I like for you to take them all. I really would. We're going to be in a... I want to talk to you about a subject. My little girl, she's 11 years old now. She was 7, and she read her Bible through. And she came up to me one day, said, let's think of some names of Jesus. So we come up with about 30-some names. I thought that was doing pretty good. You know, on the spur of the moment, I'd come up with 30-some names. And she dismissed herself, and then she came up again, and she said, help me think of some more names. So we thought of four or five names of Jesus, and I know she had about 50 names on her. Then the next time she came up, she had about 70 names. And I only had a commentary with 49 names of Jesus. So I started looking, and some of these names she came up with was Counselor. He's Governor. He's Jehovah. He's Potentate, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Deliverer, Emmanuel, Christ, Son of Man, Creator, King of Glory, King of Kings, Yahweh, He's our Lawyer, Savior, Master, Jesus, Brother, Friend, Messiah, Prince of Peace, Holy Ghost, our Lord, Light of the Tribe of Judah, He's the Good Shepherd, He's the Lord of Lords, He's the Great I Am, Holy One, Son of God, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Bread. He is a Lamb, He is the Holy Spirit, the Word, the Redeemer, Advocate, Mediator, First and Last, Light, High Priest, Bright Morning Star, Father, Son of Mary, Jesus Christ, Son of Rose of Sharon, the Rock, Cornerstone, Sword and Shield, Root of David, the Last Adam, Son of David, Sacrifice, Bread of Life, Manna, Great Physician, Water of Life, and God. And He's all in one. All in one. Brother, I tell you right now, this Jehovah Witness come to my door. He said, how you doing? He handed me one of their tracts that they hand out. And I know right away he was a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, how you doing? I said, well, I don't believe like you. I said, you're going to have to leave. He said, there ain't no difference between me and you. I said, I beg to differ. There is a difference. He said, what's the difference? I said, well, you don't believe Jesus is God. He said, well, can't quite understand it. I said, well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I said, that's what John 1:1 says. He said, well, just don't quite believe it. I said, well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He
said, just don't make sense to me. I said, well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, I think I'll leave on that. So he left, and then he come back about 2 weeks later. He said, well, he said, what's the Baptist preacher got for me today? I said, well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This thing is real, folks. This thing is real. You better understand, this is real. I mean, it's life or death. There's no other thing about it. This is real. This is real. I hope it's real to you. We're going to be in Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, and thou believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, I need you. Lord, save the lost and encourage to save, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My title of the message is this. It's a person, a place, or a thing. Now I want you to hear while I preach about what salvation is. I want to preach about what salvation is. Salvation is a person. It's the Lord Jesus. It's a person. It's what you can do with Jesus. What you do with Jesus Christ. It's a person. The Bible says in 10:9 of Romans, if thou mean whosoever, meaning anybody. Meaning it don't matter what you've done, if you repent of it, that's turn 180 in the other direction, he'll save you. That's walking this way and turning and walking this way. He'll save you. Now, I'm not talking about a worldly repentance. I'm not talking about a worldly repentance. Say, I'm sorry, and then walk in this direction for maybe a day or two, and then turn around all the way around and walk in the same direction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a godly repentance. When you say, I'm sorry, you mean that thing. You go in the other direction and you stay there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a godly repentance. This world has a worldly repentance. They preach, nine times out of ten, they'll preach a worldly repentance. But it takes a godly repentance to repent. Amen. Man, you must realize you're a sinner. So you have to realize you're a sinner before you can get saved. You must realize, you say, preacher, you're making things sound like it's hard. No, it's so simple that a child can be saved. That's how simple it is. It just takes believing and confessing together. That's all it takes. If you believe and you confess and you do it together, that's it.
Amen.
That's it. And a child can be saved. If a child can be saved, anybody can be saved. He's humble. A child is humble. I mean, you must realize you're going to a devil's hell without Jesus. I mean, you must want salvation more than anything. I mean, you must want a change. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are become new. You know, the Bible says, 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That means you don't have to physically kill another person to be a murderer. You know that? You don't have to physically kill him. You can kill him by hating him. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. It says, and whosoever means to me, you will go to heaven by believing, or you go to hell by not believing. That's simple. It's the gospel. It's simple. I mean, why make something hard out of something so easy? I mean, people today tell you they can't understand this thing. Brother, why can't they understand this? This thing is simple. It's simple to me. I mean, I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man. This is a simple book. God has made himself simple to me. I'm a simple man. And brother, when I can understand things, it's simple. It is so simple. Meaning it takes a single plea from a single person. Meaning you can't get to heaven on church membership. Can't get to heaven on baptism. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, but the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Trying to work your way to heaven? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not get up for being good. Matthew 19:16-22, it says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, and what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know what he done? Took his glasses off. He looked the truth right in the eye. And turned around and walked away. That's what some of you are doing here tonight. You're looking the truth right in the eye and walking away. And you'll not get there by being sorrowful, then going back to the same old sin. 1 John 9:10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, 1 John 1:9 is the way that a lot of people get out of the sinning business. But let me tell you something. 1 John 1:9 is to the believer. The whole first John in 5 chapters is to the believer. Now, Romans 10:13, when the blood is applied to your life, it's to the lost man. He has to get the blood applied before he can get saved. Before he can ask for forgiveness, the blood has to be applied. You can't skip the blood like so many people do today. They want to go around the blood. You can't skip the blood. You got to get covered in that blood. Now, he does it all at the same time, so you don't have to ask forgiveness. See, my God has no limitations. He does it all. When you get the blood applied, he forgives you at the same time. So you don't have to know a lot to get to heaven. Just have to know him.
Right, amen.
Just have to know Jesus. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have much I know when I got saved. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. You know, I was 19 years old. 19 years old. Well, I had the world by the hand. Going to school full time. Partying on the side. Drinking and stuff like that. They're doing all kinds of ungodly deeds. But I tell you, you know, I wrecked my car one night. It was a New Year's Eve night. I wrecked my car. Turned it end over end. Lost my ability to walk, talk, and write. And had to learn to do it all over again. Still can't walk that good. You seen me coming up down them banisters. You wait till I go down them. I'm going to really have to hold on to them. But I still can't walk that good. And I can't sign my name. I'm just barely signing my name on a piece of paper. And I can't talk that good. My words get jumbled up together. But I'm saved. That's all that matters. And I got saved one night, February 1992, Sugartown Baptist Church. I got saved that night. I can remember that night just as good as right now. I was on my way, and I stopped in that church and sat back out on the back row of a church and said, "Lord, save me if you can." I had a chip on my shoulder. God ran back to the home run with that chip. I had a chip on my shoulder, sat down on the back row of the bench. It was a deacon that was speaking. He spoke on hardness of heart. And brother, I didn't want my heart hardened. I know God had a deal with you at the time that you got saved. I know that much. But I didn't want my heart, I didn't want to harden my heart to the gospel. I didn't want God to quit dealing with me. You know, so many times people harden their heart. And when they harden their heart so many times, God would give them over to a reprobate mind. God would be done with them. He would be a walking dead man. I didn't want that to be to me. I didn't want that to happen to me. So I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, just deal with my heart one more time." And when the preacher got up, he said, "Does anybody want to get saved?" And that hand went up. He says, "Anybody want to come up here right now?" And brother, when I stood up, I think right then is when God done the saving. When I stood up for anybody saying anything, I think God looked into my heart. He seen I was real. I wanted this thing. And when I stood up, God saved me. And I walked down to that altar, and they could have said, "Jack and Jill went up the hill, brother. I'm still being saved." No matter what they'd have said, I'd have still got saved that night. This is real stuff. This is the real stuff. What has God done for you? He was beaten. I mean, it was God. It was God, folks. He was beaten. He stretched out his arms and had nails driven through the hands and the feet and didn't say a word to him. I mean, this was God. I mean, they put a cat of nine tails and whipped him on his back. This was God, folks. They spit in God's face. And God said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." I mean, this was God. God. They put God up before him. In between two thieves, mocked him, cursed him, hung him up naked. I mean, this was God. This was God. They put a vinegar to God's face, but it took none of it. This was God. I mean, they took a sword, a spear, and plunged into the God's side, and out ran water and blood. I mean, this was God. This was God. And yet they killed God on an awful, on an old rugged cross. This was God. And they put God into a borrowed tomb. This was God. But on the third day, it was God. It was God. It was God to God.